Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Kirby Smart was not happy yesterday. He was asked a question about his offensive line, and he pushed back on that question at least a little bit. I think a lot of Georgia fans, though, probably feel like the question itself is pretty fair, especially going into the game on Saturday against Mississippi State. The question was about Georgia's offensive line and maybe how that group is, to use the phrase, grading out so far, what it looks like when you judge the game film. Well, Kirby Smart defended his offensive line in the midst of this and even kind of questioned the notion of how you would grade the UGA offensive line up to this point. Let me let you hear this, a little longer than the normal clip that we would play, but I think it tells a story of maybe a subject that Kirby Smart's growing just a little bit tired of talking about. Here's Kirby Smart asking or answering how it is that he grades his offensive line up to this point.
How they graded in terms of the physical nature. Is it? Do you guys just like savor for me to say something negative about our offensive line? I feel like every day I come in, y'all asking, how's the offensive line grade? Well, we grade based on effort, toughness, and assignment. They graded well on that. Now, if they can't move a person that's bigger than them and they try to move them, is that a minus grade or is that a positive grade? They're grading good. So if you want to know how they're grading, they're grading well. My mom's an English teacher. She says you should say well. They're grading well. But are we getting what we want out of them? No. I'm not completely happy with that. I'm not happy with the way our corners press. You know what I mean? I'm not happy that we don't have any interceptions. So there's all kinds of improvement that needs to be on our team. I think our offensive line coach, they work really hard to improve. But we are not where we need to be. So y'all can email me any suggestions you guys might have. Serious.
Listen, I'm a big believer that Kirby Smart can use his media availability however he wants to. I mean, it's the media that wants to be there. It's not necessarily Kirby that wants them to be there. So if Kirby Smart can kind of say and answer questions however he wants, I think that's absolutely his prerogative. However, I will say in this particular instance, though, I don't think the question to Kirby Smart about how he grades his offensive line is unfair. Based on the way that it's performed so far this season and based on the somewhat curious play calling that I believe stems from an offensive line that's probably not getting the job done, especially when it comes to some of the interior positions. So from that standpoint, the question is not unfair looking back on the other games in the season, and it's probably not unfair looking ahead to the rest of the season either, especially this Saturday, where you really get a sense that Mississippi State wants to come into Athens and wants to make the game as physical as it possible can. As an example of that, I want you to hear this piece of audio from Aaron Taylor, a CBS Sports college football analyst on one of their college football shows, talking about the win from last Saturday that he thought was the most impressive. He thought it was Mississippi State's win over LSU. And listen in particular to why Taylor, the analyst from CBS, was so impressed from Mississippi State. Here it is.
Most impressive victory was Mississippi State's beatdown of LSU, right? They beat LSU like they stole something. Yeah. And now people are saying, oh, man, I told you we shouldn't have hired reminding them of the old Ole Miss days. Mississippi State brought a physicality to that game that I think shocked all of us. I got a chance to see them earlier in the year. I saw some kind of the smackings of that. But seeing what they did to LSU, beating them at their own game, they schemed them up. They beat them down on both sides of the football. I think we all came into the season thinking Auburn was going to make some noise in the West. I think that team this year is going to
be. What was that analysis?
Now, forgetting for a moment that TV show apparently is like this sort of forced chuckle fest where everybody kind of talks over each other. Forgetting that for a moment, what Taylor says there about Mississippi State is probably a warning worth heeding here a little bit. This is a team that wants to be physical on both sides of the ball. Now, I think every Georgia fan believes the Georgia defensive line is going to be more than, and the front seven overall, is going to be more than capable of matching whatever Mississippi State's offensive line tries to bring to the table in terms of a physicality. But going back to the media member's question to Kirby Smart a moment ago, how is the offensive line going to fare against the Mississippi State defensive front? That's a big issue on Saturday. And frankly, while I think Georgia does win this game, I don't think the Dogs can win this game without getting something more from the offensive line than they've gotten through the first 3 weeks. Especially when you think about the star player that Mississippi State has patrolling the issue for them defensively right now, Jeffrey Simmons, a guy that we talked about earlier in the week. This is a former five-star prospect. This is not the kind of player that you typically expect to see from a recruiting standpoint in Starkville, Mississippi. But it was a big recruiting win for Dan Mullen when he got him. He's played well so far this season, to use the word that Kirby Smart encourages us to use a moment ago. And as Kirby Smart explained yesterday, he's the kind of guy that you got to be very aware of this weekend, too.
Yeah, he's a very disruptive player. I mean, he's probably one of the best inside players in the entire SEC, if not the country. I recruited him out of high school, remember him well, great player. As far as matchups, we'll have one person on him, we'll have another person on him. If we pull somebody, it might be somebody else. I mean, it could be anybody on him. The most important thing is to use good technique, keep your pad level down, and outwork him. But he's a really good player, and he is extremely disruptive. So, you know, you got to find ways to block him, and you got to find ways to get away from him.
So, listen, I mean, when you've got that kind of talent that you're facing here, when you've got that kind of, you know, guy that you're lining up with on the defensive line for the other team, questions about your offensive line and how you grade that group in terms of its physicality going to this game on Saturday, that is not a question that's out of bounds. And furthermore, when it comes to the Mississippi State defensive line, it's not just Simmons you have to worry about. As Kirby Smart also said yesterday, you got a bunch more guys here as well that you've got to pay a lot of attention to.
I mean, they're relentless. They play a lot of guys. They get off hard. They've got several, man, I think they got 20 guys on the roster from the Mississippi JUCOs that are really good players. They got great size, great length, and bat balls. I mean, they're a good defensive line, man.
Yeah, so listen, it is a good defensive line, a group that really got after Danny Etling and LSU on Saturday, and a group that I think comes in and probably tries to play well against Georgia this weekend. Now, I want to be clear about this. I think that Georgia's going to win this game this weekend. I think Georgia's a point spread favorite for a reason, and I think the confidence that you're hearing coming out of Starkville, Mississippi, to a certain extent, is probably misplaced. But any kind of issue for Georgia in terms of winning the game all centers around the offensive line. I think that looking at the offensive line more deeply helps understand why some of the play calling this season just simply hasn't made sense. And when you think about how Georgia match up against Mississippi State, getting a better push, opening up holes for running backs and better protection for Jake Fromm is also crucial there as well. So as I said before, I don't mind Kirby Smart using his availability with the media to do anything he wants to, even if it's to build up the confidence of his offensive line, suggesting publicly that he believes in them more than apparently the media does. But privately, I think we all know the truth here, that Georgia is pushing this group to get better because it knows its ability to win this game this weekend and all the crucial SEC contests that follow rests primarily on getting more from this group than it's gotten so far this season. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. Whether you're watching us on Facebook Live, of course, we're available each and every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. We are also on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Glad to have you with us if you're in the Athens area. And as well in podcast form on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on the world-famous DogNation.com. We'll post the show there. We try to make the podcast as easy for you to find as we possibly can. We just appreciate you being with us. And if you're watching us on video right now, we'll look forward to your questions and comments in our kind of live interactive segment later on today and hope you will enjoy that. And I want you to start thinking about a date coming up in the very near future, a big event coming up with Dog Nation. Jeff Sintel and me going to be a part of this. It's our Dog Nation big game preview coming up next Thursday. It's a week from tomorrow. Next Thursday at the Marlowe's in Buford at the Mall of Georgia. It's 3333 Buford Drive, Buford, Georgia. It's 6 to 8 p.m. What we're going to be doing there is looking ahead to the Tennessee game for the Dogs, a live broadcast, kind of an off-the-record, you know, off-air conversation before the live broadcast take place. We're going to give away some Dog Nation t-shirts. We're going to have a lot of fun with our friends at Marlowe's. You know, every time we come out to the Marlowe's in Buford, we always have a huge crowd from people that kind of come all around from Gwinnett, Hall County, and the surrounding areas. So we'll look forward to seeing that for as well next Thursday. That's a week from tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Buford for our big Dog Nation big game preview there. We've got a really fun show coming up for you today. Later on in this show, we're going to have former Georgia quarterback David Green. Now, David's going to tell you about a big autograph signing coming up in Athens this Saturday ahead of the Mississippi State game. And he'll also talk about the subject we're about to get into, which is what Kirby Smart had to say about his two quarterbacks, Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm, yesterday. So really good stuff coming up from David Green about 25 minutes from right now, addressing the situation with the Georgia quarterbacks and a big autograph signing taking place in Athens on Saturday. We'll also have my partner from SEC Country Live, presented by AT&T, Mike Johnson, on the show in a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about what we just got into about the Georgia offensive line and his thoughts about Mississippi State. Now, I will tell you that Mike is impressed by the Bulldogs right now, so we'll do that with Mike Johnson coming up. Before any of that, though, You know, what Kirby Smart just said about the Georgia offensive line and his kind of pushback against the line of questioning on that group yesterday was not the only interesting thing he had to say. There was another development in the Jake Fromm compared to Jacob Eason storyline here. Now, as you know, Jacob Eason has returned to practice this week. He's still probably at least a couple of weeks away from playing in a game for Georgia. But the hypothetical question was posed to Kirby Smart. When Eason is healthy, when he is back playing again, I guess it's not really a hypothetical question because at some point in time, it is going to happen. But does Eason just magically regain his job again once he's back at full health again? And I thought that Kirby Smart gave an interesting and somewhat revealing answer. Here is what Kirby Smart says about the Georgia quarterback situation.
I don't know that that's a fair question. I think the question is, number one, what is cleared to play? Is that 100% healthy or is that emergency backup? I think a lot of that's determined by how Fromm's playing. I think we'll make that decision when the time comes. It's not like we're going to sit here and make an ultimatum. It's going to come as his health improves.
I think that Kirby Smart gives virtually a perfect answer to this question by Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason. I know this has the potential to turn into one of those kind of political battles between Georgia fans who are kind of on the side of Team Eason, and I see that in our comment section on Facebook Live each and every day, and frankly, some of the comments that are posted. We post the podcast at DogNation.com or on Twitter at DogNationDaily. We hear from some Georgia fans who say, hey, the veteran quarterback's got to be the guy that goes back in and plays once he's healthy. Jacob Eason should be the guy for Georgia. But on the other hand, we also hear from Georgia fans who say, listen, I like Fromm. I like his moxie. I like his quote-unquote it factor. That's the phrase we've heard a lot. I've seen enough from him through two starts and what I expect to see against Mississippi State that he ought to be the guy and that Jacob Eason ought to have to earn his way back on the field. It should be Jake Fromm's job for now. I realize that Georgia fans, even though I've sort of asked that not be the case, I realize that Georgia fans are kind of sort of dividing themselves into two groups on this. I don't think it's a contentious debate yet. I don't think it's an angry, nasty argument yet. But I definitely think you're seeing lines being drawn with some fans on the Fromm side, some fans on the Eason side. And I understand where that comes from. But I think Kirby Smart actually splits the difference here pretty well. And I think Kirby Smart's words there probably reflect my overall opinion about what the real situation is for Georgia quarterback. I do not believe this is an either-or situation. I do not believe that when Eason won the job to start the 2017 season, that was the last we were going to hear from Jake Fromm in comparison to Jacob Eason in terms of the competition. I mean, I love what Chip Towers said on this show a few months ago, going back to April, I guess it was, when he said that he believes that the competition between Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm was going to extend through 2017 and really into 2018 as well. This was not a situation that Eason won once and for all the quarterback job leading to the start of this year. There would be some sort of side-by-side comparison going on between these two for quite some time. And if that was true then, before Fromm had played, I believe that's only more true now that Fromm has played. And it's not that Fromm has necessarily been better than Jacob Eason. The truth is, I don't think it's completely clear who is better between Fromm or Eason. I think they both have to be on the field to determine that. And that's why I think what Kirby Smart seems to be suggesting there, if I'm not reading too much into his words, is that both these guys will potentially have an opportunity to be on the field. And that the issue of who the best quarterback for UGA is will be, once and for all, eventually decided on the field, whether it finishes sometime in 2017 or extends through 2018. I mean, I think the overall bottom line when it comes to Georgia's quarterback position is simply this. This is not a settled issue at all. It is not settled between Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason, and it is certainly not settled when you look ahead to 2018 and the possibility that five-star quarterback Justin Fields could also be at Georgia as well. And at one point in time, I was probably a little skeptical of the notion that Fields was coming to Georgia. Certainly, I wasn't, you know, in line believing that he was a silent commitment the way that some Georgia fans seem to think that he probably is. But now, there is this pile up of circumstantial evidence that makes it more likely that Fields will maybe eventually come to Georgia. I think it's more likely a yes for Fields now than it was a couple of weeks ago. And if Fields comes to Georgia, I believe in some form or fashion, he's going to play a little bit in 2018, which leaves Kirby Smart, Jim Chaney, and the Georgia offensive brain trust deciding between three quarterbacks at that time. Fields, if he comes, Fromm certainly, and Jacob Eason as well. So it's not clear yet who the best long-term answer for Georgia at quarterback is. And I think Kirby Smart's words to that effect yesterday kind of foreshadow what's coming later on. That Jake Fromm has got an opportunity while he's still playing against Mississippi State this week. I believe he'll probably still be the starter against Tennessee 2 weeks from now, and then we'll have to see what happens after that. But Jake Fromm's got an opportunity to earn himself even more playing time when Jacob Eason's healthy again. And I don't want to be unfair to Eason here either. He didn't do anything personally to get demoted. He ought to be able to play too. But for Georgia fans to pretend that the quarterback situation is settled, that it's definitely Eason's job or definitely Fromm's job, I think misunderstands the comparison between both of those, and I think ignores the future of what 2018 could be if Georgia does add another quarterback into this mix. The bottom line here for Kirby Smart is not deciding between Fromm and Eason, but looking at all the options available and picking a quarterback capable of getting Georgia where it wants to go. Is that Fromm? Is that Eason? Could that be Justin Fields? Obviously, none of us know that right now, but the next couple of years of trying to find that out, if it does indeed include all three, I think could be pretty interesting. And overall, I think it works out pretty well for Georgia. It's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. David Green coming up later on. Hope you enjoy my partner from AT&T's SEC Country Live, Mike Johnson, right now. And I will say hello to Mike Johnson. He's with me every day on AT&T's SEC Country Live, Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Dog Nation Facebook page. Mike, it's good to have you with us today. Let me start with this, if you don't mind. We began the show with some audio of Kirby Smart, a little bit critical of the media for asking tough questions about his offensive line and how he evaluates their physicality and how he evaluates how that group has performed thus far this season. He seemed to suggest he's got a little more confidence in that group than maybe some in the media do. But when you look at Georgia from a play-calling standpoint through three games and just kind of an inability to get the running game going and the ones that have mattered the most, the way a lot of Georgia fans would hope, these questions about the offensive line, they're not unfair, right?
No, I don't think they're unfair. I think there's a couple of different ways of looking at it. I don't know the specifics of what words were used to ask those questions, but criticisms are fair all over the field. I firmly believe that, even though I was in those shoes before. I don't like people asking if the offensive line is soft. You know, we've been through that one before on SEC Country Live where I don't believe there's any college football player that's, this specifically soft. I think that these guys all go out and leave blood and sweat and tears and all that on the field, so I hate using that terminology. But I don't think they're playing at the level they want to, and maybe Kirby Smart sees that, and maybe he's trying to address that, and maybe he's, trying to clean up some technique thing. Obviously, that was one of the biggest question marks leading into the season for Georgia, and you and I have talked about that at length. I think they still have a ways to go, and I think that Nick Chubb and Sony Michel are better backs than they've probably been able to show here in the first couple of weeks. But by no means do I think any of the questions about some of the blocking schemes and some of the abilities up front of those offensive line guys are out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the issue here is Kirby Smart says he believes the offensive line is grading out just fine. That's the actual specifics of the question. And, Mike, what I would say, somewhat tongue-in-cheek but half-serious as well, if the offensive line truly is grading out fine, according to Kirby Smart and Sam Pittman, the OL coach evaluation, then there's a lot of play calling for Georgia that just doesn't make any sense then, right? Because it seems like a lot of what Georgia's doing from a play calling standpoint, especially in the Notre Dame game, the one, real stiff competition that Georgia's faced thus far this season, where it seemed like Georgia was trying to run plays away from the offensive line.
Yeah, listen, I think they've been put in a tough boat. I mean, I'm actually going to give Jim Chaney the benefit of the doubt here where, You go into the season thinking you have a second-year starter and a guy that's been able to sling the ball around in a developing receiving core. Then you go to Notre Dame with a true freshman starter at quarterback. I'm not sure that Jake Fromm still knows as much of the playbook as he needs to at this point in time. And I think the way the defenses have attacked him the last couple of weeks show that. I think they understand that this is the true freshman quarterback and, we're able to load the box because we're not really scared of Jake Fromm's ability to beat us deep just yet. And, that probably gives the offensive line a tough task. It gives Jim Chaney a tough task as far as calling the plays because, I'm not saying that he's dealing with a handicap of sorts, but maybe he is not able to open up the playbook like he would for a Jacob Eason. Maybe the hot reads aren't there to be able to back some of those safeties and linebackers off the ball. I think it's tough right now when you look at it three games in the season. They haven't developed and put up the numbers you thought they would. But I think they've done some good things, and I think they're on track to still have a pretty good year.
You probably saw a lot more of Mississippi State against LSU than most of our audience did, and certainly more than I did. I was in Athens, a lot of Georgia fans paying close attention to their own game. They didn't see Mississippi State against LSU. But based on our conversation on AT&T's SEC Country Live yesterday, you were very impressed with what you saw from those maroon and white Bulldogs. Give us an idea of what you like about Mississippi State. We've heard from other people sharing their thoughts about MSU as of late, but give me your specific thoughts about why you were so impressed with Mississippi State in that game against LSU, obviously other than the 37-7 final score.
Yeah, I thought Nick Fitzgerald's ability to kind of take it to this LSU defense, this vaunted, slobber knocker LSU defense that we've come to know over the last years, We didn't see that on Saturday. I thought their offensive line played at a level I haven't seen them play at in quite some time. The left side especially. I mean, Martinez Rankin was asked to do a lot of things in this game. Pass protect on third down, pull in the running game, blow guys off, you know, on some of these head-up techniques that LSU uses. I think the game got a little lopsided, obviously, due to some of the ejections that LSU had. But even before that, I thought that Nick Fitzgerald's ability to always fall forward and always find the hidden yardage and extend these plays and these drives was really special. And I think that Dan Mullen does a great job of developing him to his strengths, allowing him to use his abilities to really shape this offense around what Nick Fitzgerald does well. And I think that that's why they've hit the ground running this year. And I think that's why they're going to continue to be successful in a lot of phases.
Colt Gotti says Mississippi State's overrated. I don't know they're overrated. I think 17th right now feels about right for them. But the one area in which I'll probably agree with Colt in the comment section, Mike, is there's some talk this week about Mississippi State kind of coming in and being comfortable and at home in Athens after doing what it did to LSU last week. And I'm not there yet for Mississippi State. One of the reasons why I do like Georgia in this game on Saturday is because if you're going to tell me that Mississippi State's going to dominate LSU at home and then go on the road and beat the number 11 team in the country, then you're essentially saying that Mississippi State is a legitimate contender to win the SEC, you know, to beat Alabama and win the SEC, because that's the kind of teams that play that well 2 weeks in a row. And while I think Mississippi State's probably a top 25 team, certainly can be, putting together another performance equal to what they did last week, I just don't trust that team to be able to do that this week. I think that Georgia has about a touchdown favorite. To me, that feels about right.
Well, listen, you know, historically, Mississippi State, I think it's, you know, it's, you're dead on in asking those questions, especially when you look at their track record under Dan Mullen. I've mentioned to you, I'm not as comfortable calling him a top-tier quarterback as some other people are. I think he's done a lot with a little at Mississippi State. But I don't know that he's the greatest, you know, the second greatest coach in the SEC. I think that's still to be determined. But I think what impressed me last week, and the reason I probably give them a better shot than you do, is to be able to go on the road and win games like this, you have to have strong line play. You have to have quarterbacks that are comfortable in these settings. You have to have, you know, an ability to establish a ground game and kind of take that, you know, some of the other items off the list, if you will, when you go on the road and play these games. I think they've got a strong offensive line, and they've got a strong defensive line, and they got a quarterback who has yet to show that some of these seams are too big for him. And I think that's the recipe to go on the road in the SEC. Obviously, there's going to be a huge, you know, contingent of Georgia fans in Athens, and everybody's going to be loud and you know, loud and rowdy. But Nick Fitzgerald has been there a couple of times now. They have the offensive line to be able to establish a ground game and kind of take the air out of the ball early. I think that's a recipe for an upset victory. You know, I don't love Mississippi State, but I'm just telling you, it's not as easy as some people think.
Fair enough. We got into a subject before you joined us about Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason, the two Georgia quarterbacks. Eason, of course, the injured one at the moment. And Kirby Smart, we played some audio where he did not guarantee that Eason would automatically step right back into his starting role once he's back healthy again, basically leaving the door open to kind of evaluate this over the next couple of weeks while Eason's recovery is ongoing. How do you feel as a former player about that? I mean, you obviously, I'm sure, dealt with injuries over the course of your career, and I'm sure, I know for a fact, you saw teammates get injured. Is this supposed to be Eason's job no matter what due to the fact that he only lost it because of injury? Or let's say Fromm plays really well against Mississippi State this week, at Tennessee the next. Can Fromm earn the job away, or at least the starting nod away from Eason based on the way that he plays while Eason got hurt? What's fair here?
I think Fromm can definitely earn the job the way he plays the next couple of weeks. You know, he's got to play lights out, and he's got to play to the top of his ability, and the offense has to click to another level in order to kind of kick Jacob Eason out of that seat. You know, the way I look at injuries like this, you know, when I was in the NFL, I used to hate that a guy would lose a position due to injury. There's a lot more games in the NFL. The careers are a lot longer in the NFL, and your ability to get in the playoffs and kind of get back to a level plays well in the NFL. That's just not true in college football. You only have a certain number of losses to give if you're going to make a run at an SEC crown or, you know, at a national championship crown. And there's only four-year careers. And for that reason, if a guy has to get injured and another guy steps into his place and plays well, I don't have a problem with Kirby Smart giving the job to Jake Fromm. If he is able to come in and play well against the top 20 Mississippi State team and come in and play well against Tennessee the week after that, I think that's going to be a huge part of his decision-making. I think the reason that he has not awarded that job either way is because he wants to see how it plays out.
The word that I used earlier was unsettled. Do you agree with me that this quarterback situation is unsettled? It should be true that Eason ought to be better than Fromm because he was equal, if not a better prospect coming out of high school, and he's got a year of experience. But I'm not necessarily sure that's the case. I think both guys could have exceptional careers. I think both guys are more than capable. But the comparison between the two, I'm not quite sure which one the better guy is yet.
Yeah, unsettled's the perfect word for me. You know, obviously, like you said, Jake Beeson has probably got the edge in talent, got the edge in experience, but Jake Fromm has done all the right things for everything you and I have heard. I mean, this guy comes in and he gets in the film room, he's able to learn most of the playbook. But to me, the mentality of the experience is what's left to play out here. I can't say how big of an aspect that is for me when you look at Jake Beeson, some of the big games he played in last year. We're going to find out what Jake Fromm's made of here in the next couple of weeks, especially when he goes on the road to play Tennessee. I think that's going to be a raucous crowd. And I just think there's too many ifs right now, and I think it's smart of Kirby Smart, no pun intended, to be able to say, hey, I'm not sure who the guy's going to be in the long run, and we're going to wait till this thing plays out.
So I've been reading a lot of stuff over the last couple of days. You know, Mark Schlabaugh, very critical of the SEC in an ESPN.com column. Dan Wolk in USA Today, I'm going to read some of this later on the show. He was really critical of the SEC in a USA Today.com column. Is the SEC bad? Is this a bad league right now?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. I don't think it's a bad league at all. I don't know if it's playing up to the standards that it was used to 5 and 6 years ago, and I think a lot of that's due to some of the head coaching changes, especially when you look at what LSU is going through right now, what Florida is going through right now. Not that they're a bad team down in Florida, but it's just, it's not as smooth as it used to look. You used to look at SEC teams and everything looked smooth and they didn't have to win ugly in some of these non-conference games. When you look at what Tennessee had to do against Georgia Tech, when you look at how Florida looked against Michigan, it just doesn't look as smooth. And I think that's the problem when you look on the landscape. The SEC's kind of been turned upside down here recently, where Mississippi State looks good and Vanderbilt looks good and Kentucky pulls off a big win and South Carolina beats NC State in kind of a crazy game. It just doesn't look like what people are used to. And that's not to say they're a bad conference right now, but I think it's probably a lot closer between a lot of the teams that people are used to. And from that aspect, I understand, the national outrage. The thing to me is, when I look around at the conferences, I don't know who they think is great. It's not the Big Ten. It's, Oklahoma going in there upsetting Ohio State. I don't know that any conferences look great so far. So the SEC might not be sitting on the top of the mountain, but I'm not sure that who they're going to crown just yet as being the greatest conference.
Well, I agree with the point that you brought up a moment ago. I mean, I think that what you may have in the SEC, and I know this is going to sound like kind of an SEC homer opinion. I probably am an SEC homer. But in defense of the league, you may have Kentucky that's actually an okay football team. Vanderbilt may be an okay football team. They just beat a top 25 team as a point spread underdog. That's typically something we give a team credit for doing. South Carolina, despite the loss to Kentucky, may still be okay. Mississippi State, who's coming here on Saturday, all of a sudden that looks like a real team worth paying attention to. Georgia may be a team on the rise. I mean, I just gave you a few teams that kind of have not been in the mix in terms of competing for championships over the last few years that may be actually a little bit better this year. And it could be that the balance has just shifted. We expect it to be Auburn and LSU in the SEC West. Maybe it's Mississippi State right now that's competing with Alabama. We expect it to be, Florida, Tennessee. Maybe it's more like Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, who's competing with Georgia here. You may still have a decent number of competitive football teams. They may just not be the ones that the media expects them to be. And I think there's a possibility that's what's true in the SEC right now.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just you don't have the same consistency that you did from the front runners for so long in the SEC. I mean, it's for the last 10 years, it's been Alabama, LSU, and Auburn really making the national title runs in the just out of the SEC West. And obviously with all the crowns of 4-1 under Urban Meyer and the 10-win season that you expected under Mark Richt and the great things Tennessee was able to accomplish there in the mid-2000s. You expected to see those guys as the front runners, and it's not the case anymore. You don't have the consistency out of those programs on an annual basis that you're used to. But that's not to say that the SEC's down. Like you said, South Carolina pulling off the big upset win against NC State. You look around the conference, there's been some big out-of-conference wins, and that's kind of what I mean, where I don't know who you're going to point to. A lot of people said the ACC was going to be the big conference this year. Well, guess what? A bad Auburn team played them to within one score. Alabama beats Florida State. South Carolina beats NC State. And so I haven't seen it yet who you're going to crown on the top if it's not the SEC.
Let me finish with this. You know, we talked about this on AT&T SEC Country Live, the Hail Mary victory for Florida against Tennessee. But from the Georgia perspective, what should that game tell Georgia fans? Is Florida still clearly Georgia's chief competition in the East? Is Florida better in your mind now than they probably looked after the game against Michigan? How much respect should Georgia fans throw Florida's way right now?
I'm going to walk right into this fan base and everybody's going to be throwing praise on me, but I don't think it's a lot. To me, it was just sloppy all around. That game was just as ugly as it possibly could have been. I gave the edge to Tennessee going into the game because I thought Quint Dormady would play to a certain level. I thought that he looked smooth in the first couple of games. I thought he'd look like a guy who was going to do the safe thing with the football, and there he goes and throws three interceptions. There's too much inconsistency in both of these programs for these coaches to be in year three and year five, and Butch Jones and Jim McElwain. You know, Florida for the last couple of years has been a team that can hang their hat on their defense. They're going to fly around. They're going to create turnovers. And they're still probably that team, so I think they're still dangerous. But, you know, a last-second 63-yard touchdown pass is not going to change my opinion of Florida right now. I think they still have a lot of work to do. And if Georgia continues to play with consistency, specifically on the defensive side of the ball in that front seven, I think they can go out and beat anybody.
AT&T SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern time today on the SEC Country Facebook page. Mike, it's always fun to have you here on Dog Nation Daily. Looking forward to this afternoon as well, and we'll hopefully catch up with you here on our program again very soon.
Yes, sir, B.A. See you this afternoon, buddy.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, don't forget, we're going to have former Georgia quarterback David Green coming up in just a moment here. We'll talk to him about the situation with Georgia football going into what maybe its biggest home game of the year against Mississippi State on Saturday. And David will tell us about a big autograph signing taking place this Saturday with former UGA linebacker Rennie Curran at Tailgate Apparel in Athens right there in the old Harry Bissett's building. Before we get to that, though, SEC Through here, and as Mike said, AT&T SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Country Facebook page. An example of some of that SEC criticism that I mentioned before, listen to what Dan Wolken writes at USAtoday.com. He says, while Georgia's Week 2 win at Notre Dame boosted the perception that Kirby Smart's program is on the rise, it's still Alabama and everybody else. Wolken says, a half decade of lazy, unimaginative hires has left the SEC unable to keep pace with the makeover that has taken place in the Big Ten, ACC, even Pac-12 to a certain degree. LSU panicked after getting played by Tom Herman, handed the job to an interim coach already failed once in the league. South Carolina went to the recycling bin for Will Muschamp. Florida and Georgia locked on Saban disciples. Then he gives examples of other coaches in the rest of college football who are, in his mind, more imaginative hires. I think there is some criticism of the SEC here that's fair. I don't think this is fair at all from Dan Wolken. First of all, I think Will Muschamp is proving at South Carolina that he was actually a good hire. Not unimaginative, but actually kind of successful hire given the fact that he's recruited so well with the Gamecocks thus far. And all the names that Wolken mentions here at USAtoday.com as being better hires than what Muschamp turned out to be, Justin Fuente, Willie Taggart, Jeff Brohm, P.J. Fleck, I guarantee you that none of those guys are going to do anything recruiting-wise in the SEC. So Muschamp is an example of South Carolina probably getting it right. Now, if you want to say that LSU panicked and shouldn't have hired Ed Orgeron, I'll probably agree with you on that. I think there's a lot not to like necessarily about the Ed Orgeron hire. But overall, I got no problem with Will Muschamp at South Carolina. And I totally realize this is going to come across as like the most homerish thing that you can possibly say. But I do think there is an example of kind of ignoring George in this conversation, right? Because in order for the SEC to be really bad, then you could have no team on the rise. But is it at least a little bit possible that Georgia is kind of building something here? Even if you don't see the full evidence of that in 2017. I mean, look at what Georgia's done in recruiting the last couple of years. You know, top 10 class in 2016, number 3 class in 2017. This class is going to be top 5-ish probably at least for 2018. They're already 15th now after climbing up out of the cellar from a few weeks ago. I mean, in order for the SEC to have nothing but Alabama, you have to kind of ignore Georgia here. And while it seems very self-serving for me to kind of warn against that, because obviously I'm the host of Dog Nation Daily, it doesn't mean I'm wrong either. And I think the narrative of the SEC's got nothing going for it, the only way that can be true is if you don't pay any attention whatsoever to Georgia. And I think doing that's probably a little bit of a mistake right now. Now, maybe Georgia is not going to do as well this Saturday as I think they're going to. I'm not going to pretend that they don't have a few tough games coming. I think the road game at Tennessee is a tough one for Georgia. I think there's some imperfections in this Georgia roster. that has still got to be paid attention to. But, you know, the SEC is down narrative, that's not necessarily true if Georgia proves itself to be a top 10 team. So that's something for Dan Wolk and others to kind of mention and pay attention to. Something else I want to get to here for our SEC through. I thought there was a really interesting story at SECCountry.com about Florida and its approach to Kentucky on Saturday. And, you know, Jim McElwain kind of downplays the notion that Kentucky's lost 30 straight to Florida. Now, that's a winning streak for the Gators that I believe comes to an end on Saturday. And frankly, I think that Florida is in kind of an unenviable position of having to play a team at home with the extra steam of trying to end three decades of futility. I don't think any team would want to have to go up against that. In this case, the talent balance between Florida and Kentucky is not nearly as great as it has been over the last 30 years. I did find it somewhat interesting, though. Apparently, a lot of Florida players don't even know about the winning streak, which is understandable given the fact that a lot of these games took place before they were even born. But an example here is Freddie Swain, SECCountry.com. The quote, no, I wasn't aware about the 30-game winning streak. Now I am. They just tell us it's another game. Don't take anybody lightly. Jim McElwain, the quote from him is also, I'll let you guys talk about it. Every year it's different. You got two different teams playing, so right now it's 0-0. As much as I don't like McElwain and kind of enjoy seeing him squirming and I have fun at his expense, on this particular issue, I think he's probably right. This is a no-win situation for him to be in, although I do think Kentucky probably ends that winning streak on Saturday. Couple stories that we'll get into on SEC Country Live presented by AT&T this afternoon. Dennis Dodd suggests the coach coming to Athens on Saturday, Dan Mullen, could be a candidate for Texas A&M at the end of the season. That'll be something to pay attention to. And then more controversy involving the Alabama defense, or at least discussion about why that group's not playing up to the level people expect. We'll do that on SEC Country Live later on today as well. We'll make that your SEC through and get ready to say hello and transition to the former Georgia quarterback, a terrific friend of us on Dog Nation Daily. It is David Green. And David, again this Saturday, tailgate apparel in Athens. There's a big autograph signing going on from 2 to 4 p.m. I can't wait to talk to you about that, letting folks know how they can get there for that, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun this Saturday with a guy that's really made a great name for himself recently with his relationship with the University of Georgia. But before we get to that, let me say hello to you and ask you about your thoughts about Georgia going into this game against Mississippi State on Saturday, particularly on offense. Last week against Samford, did you see the improvement you needed to see from Georgia offensively to suggest this group may be ready for the start of SEC play?
Yeah, well, Brandon, it's good to be with you again, I tell you. So I was sitting in the stands this past weekend, and I tell you, Brandon, it's just fun right now. It's fun, Georgia football, watching them play. Defensively, first of all, I think we're so much further down the line than we were years back. I mean, guys are playing with such intensity and getting after it, and just watching the team in general, they just look like they love to play ball, which to me, that's kind of the number one mark you got to see when you look at championship caliber teams is how do you play regardless of who's across the ball. And I thought last week, team came out ready to play, looked extremely sharp. Offensively, Nick Chubb, obviously Sony didn't play last week, but Swift. I mean, we got, I think our backs are 100% right now, playing outstanding. The offensive line, I think at times looked great and at times, struggled. Jake Fromm overall, Brandon, I've really been blown away with his demeanor and how comfortable he is, and to be able to take on a leadership type role as a true freshman, it's just been amazing. I thought he made some really good throws last week, and overall, I don't think we're necessarily playing at a championship type level offensively. But as far as Jake Fromm, what he's been able to do, I don't think you could expect any more from a true freshman, especially through 3 weeks.
So yesterday, Kirby Smart addressed what happens when Jacob Eason's healthy and comes back and kind of left the door open for really anything to happen. As a guy who played quarterback at Georgia, at the time, another really good quarterback was also on the roster with DJ Shockley. What's fair here? Should Eason get the job back automatically because he was the starter before the injury? Or do you think that Fromm should get a chance to be evaluated because he's on the field? I know this is a tough question, and I don't necessarily mean to put you on the spot, but you do have a great perspective on this because you played quarterback at Georgia.
Well, I'll say this. Look, I think it depends a little bit. Like with Eason, Eason's a true sophomore. I think it'd be a little bit different if he was a fifth-year senior and we've already won a couple of championships with him. If that was the case, I would say Eason gets the job back automatically. But it's not like he's a savvy veteran here. He's been around forever. I do think if Fromm were to continue to go out there, continue to improve and say he plays outstanding this week and we're continuing to win, and stay on a good pace, I don't really see how you can pull him out.
Yeah.
Just because if things are rolling defensively, we're playing outstanding. Special teams, we're playing outstanding. And offensively, if we can continue to show improvement, you know, I think Jake Fromm's leadership and his demeanor and his competitive spirit, I mean, that to me is his greatest asset. I think Eason long-term has got more upside. But this Jake Fromm kid just kind of reeks confidence. And I think if things are continuing to go well, I don't think you can pull him. Because at the end of the day, you know, that can change up the demeanor of the team and how things are flowing. And when things are going well, I just don't think you can make a change.
How surprised are you that the marquee matchup in the SEC this week is number 11 Georgia against number 17 Mississippi State? You know, we started looking at that Georgia schedule before the start of the season. I don't think a lot of us expected this Mississippi State team to be this good coming to Athens on Saturday. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, I tell you, this Mississippi State team is playing outstanding. I mean, when's the last time you know, anybody has beaten LSU the way they got beat last week by Mississippi State? Nick Fitzgerald, a Georgia kid, grew up in Richmond Hill, grew up loving the Dogs, wanted to be a Georgia Bulldog and not to get recruited or even offered a scholarship. You know he's licking his chops. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's playing with a ton of confidence. You know, the one thing about Dan Mullen, he's a great coach. He's always kind of had that pedigree where he kind of takes the, you know, the three-star, two-star type recruits and turns them into to some really good football players. So they're well coached. We're going to have our hands full, and I know the environment is going to be rocking in Athens.
All right, this Saturday before the game, by the way, it's also going to be a raucous environment at Tailgate Apparel. That's 279 East Broad Street in Athens from 2 to 4 p.m. Former Georgia linebacker and just a terrific friend of the program, Rennie Curran, going to be there signing autographs. And, David, I know you know Rennie's story. Recently earned his degree at Georgia, and, you know, that's a great feel-good thing. He was also a terrific player at UGA and a great storyteller. And seeing him at Tailgate on Saturday signing autographs from 2 to 4, I know for Georgia fans it's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be a ton of fun. You know, we've had a lot of the old school guys from the 1980, you know, the Scott Warners, the Rex Robinsons last week to this weekend. You know, we'll have Rennie Curran there, which Rennie, I think everybody knows, terrific Bulldog. And it seemed like every time he played, he was making 12, 13 tackles, it seemed like every game. And just a work hard guy. And, you know, like you said, got his degree and loves Georgia, grew up in Snellville, so I'm a little partial to him, and a great Bulldog as well.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Tailgate Apparel, also a great spot for UGA apparel. It's kind of this cool retro-looking stuff. I love it. I think for a lot of Georgia fans who like the old-looking logos, Tailgate Apparel's got some great stuff there. David, I know you're a big fan of that as well.
Well, I'm a huge fan. You know, they just opened a store at the Georgia-Auburn game last year. Came into the store for the first time in December and just really blown away with how nice the stuff is. So, yeah, if you'll see my kids there, a lot of times I'm wearing them, my wife's wearing them, my kids are too. I like the comfortable tight feel stuff, and it feels great. And it's a great environment right there off Broad Street, the old Harry Bissett's. A great environment, got great folks working in there as well.
279 East Broad Street on Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. Former Georgia linebacker Rennie Curran signs autographs, Tailgate Apparel. David, we appreciate your time on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon and hope you enjoy your weekend in Athens this weekend as well.
Sounds good, Brandon. Thank you, buddy.
Good stuff there from Georgia quarterback David Green. Don't forget Tailgate Apparel, Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. Rennie Curran signing autographs. So if you're in Athens early, you got kids, you're looking for something to do before the game, go check out Tailgate Apparel, their cool line of UGA apparel, and get an autograph there from Rennie Curran, who I think is just a really cool guy in his own right, a terrific friend of the Dog program, great former Georgia linebacker, good stuff there. All right, also good stuff to close out the program. 38 days from now, Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And you're like us, you think a good Georgia fan's a Gator hater first and foremost, then check out shopdognation.com and get yourself a Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt. We do have all the sizes in stock, but as I've said before, this is our last shipment probably almost for sure before the game this October, so make sure you check that out. And by the way, speaking of checking things out, you check out what Mike Johnson said a moment ago. Even though Florida got the win over Tennessee, apparently Mike's still not a big believer in the Gators and the SEC East. We'll take that as good news, but we know that Florida game still matters. We'll enjoy that then and see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.